Reading from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence. Their faces forward. They all gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. And they sweep by like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own might is their God. Thus far, the reading from the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a little book in the section of the Old Testament about which many of us do not have the strongest knowledge, the section on the minor prophets. Now, it's fair to say the Bible has its highlights that everyone knows and indeed needs to know, and the sections which are often a little more obscure. The Monday study at Trinity started at the beginning of the scriptures and has now made it through the book of Numbers. And even in that little section of the Bible, as we've been studying through it, we've realized, and as participants in the study, so much with which we weren't as familiar. Habakkuk was a prophet around the time of the first siege of Jerusalem by King Nebuchadnezzar, famed king of the Babylonian Empire, or as here described in this book, the Chaldeans. So the events of this book took place likely around 605 BC, or around 2600 years ago. And you know, there's a lot of similarities between Habakkuk and Job, and that both of them are struggling with some of those big questions you and I also struggle with. Questions like, with all the horrible stuff in the world, why don't we see God doing something about it? So in the first two chapters of Habakkuk, we see Habakkuk and God having a conversation of sorts. Habakkuk asks God why these terrible things are happening, and God, for his part, gives Habakkuk answers. And in this way, Habakkuk fares better than Job, who doesn't really get any answers other than, I'm God and you're not. So for tonight's sermon, I thought we could look at Habakkuk's first complaint and the Lord's first answer to his complaint. Reading again from Habakkuk chapter 1, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Ever it has been, and indeed ever it will be in this present world, broken by sin as it is, that the righteous find themselves crying out to the Lord in the midst of violence and iniquity and destruction perpetuated by wicked and evil people, as justice is perverted and the law just seems to not matter. As we enter the season of Lent, it's fair to spend some time thinking about this reality in our world today. How there seems to often be two sets of laws. One for the rich and powerful, who it seems can get away with pretty much anything, and then one for the rest of us. In the midst of the various injustices of this present world, it's a very honest thing to cry out to the Lord and wonder just where he is in the midst of all this wrong, all this evil, all this suffering. For this world is broken. It's not the way it should be or ought to be. Things like the Olympics can make us feel like there's global peace and tranquility, but then events like those in Puerto Vallarta or Cuba are happening. The war where Russia's trying to overthrow Ukraine continues. Oh, right, Russia wasn't even allowed to be at the Olympics for that reason. And so on and so forth. Younger people despair of ever having the sorts of things their parents or grandparents took for granted, such as a home to call their own, as the financial market seems to run away with itself out of the grasp of normal people earning normal wages. Families and marriages are falling apart, often inspired by social media influencers who promise that all sorts of good things will happen to you if you just get rid of the people around you. Because it's always the other people that are the problem, and never you. And drug abuse is just as big a problem locally as it was 23 years ago when I moved here. I remember when I first was going around the community getting to know people, I was informed by the local police department that crystal meth was becoming a big issue locally, but nobody would actually talk about it. The world is broken. Our country is broken. Our society is broken. You and I are broken. Where is God in the brokenness of everything? A fair question, and scripturally, one God's people are allowed to ask. If Habakkuk and Job and the book of Psalms are any evidence. But also, if you ask the question, you must be open to how and when God answers this question. In the second part of today's reading from Habakkuk, God answers Habakkuk with exactly what he is doing about it. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence, all their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress. They pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own might is their God. Habakkuk's basic complaint, of course, is that there are evil people getting away with all sorts of evil stuff in the land of Judah. And God's answer is that the evil people are going to be overcome by people even more evil than they are. I mean, just consider the description of the Chaldeans. Bitter, hasty, dreaded, fearsome, swift, fierce, violent, scoffing, guilty, worshipping power and might. That sounds pretty evil to me. Now, this might seem somewhat counterintuitive to us as to why God would be using such a nation for his ends. But what God is saying, and I think this is incredibly important, not just for Habakkuk then, but for us today as well, is that he is the one who allows the rise and fall of nations and civilizations. He permits the forces of evil to do their work to such and such an extent, to drive the narrative of the world's history to where God needs it to be at any given point. But these forces of evil can only go so far and no further. In that sense, God is indeed taking credit for the Chaldeans. I'm doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. And this is an interesting phrase because it really does seem hard to believe that God would allow something as brutal as the Chaldeans to be his agent of destruction. And yet he does. For God's ways are not our ways. Sometimes we need to be shocked out of our complacency toward God and his word. This is an example of how God caused this to happen to his people Judah 2,600 plus years ago. The nation of Judah had turned off their hearts and their minds towards God. They needed this Babylonian captivity that was coming in order to recognize their sin, to be brought back to repentance, to be willing to hear the word of the Lord, and return to walking in his ways. Yet this phrase from this passage also ends up being used, interestingly enough, in a sermon by St. Paul in Acts chapter 13, preached at Antioch in Pisidia. There it serves as a warning to the Jews that there will be judgment in their own day if they overlook another work which they were not willing to believe. God sending his Son to be the crucified and risen Savior of the world. So even in the midst of this prophecy of doom and gloom against the corruption of God's people Judah, the imminent fall of Jerusalem at the hands of the fierce and cruel Chaldean army, there's a little note of the salvation which is ours through Christ Jesus that's poking through. All the disasters and hard times which come upon us, all the corruption of sin and evil around us are there to serve as a reminder of the depth of sin. The fact that we, by our own power and strength, really can't do anything to fix this problem. Indeed, God allows these times of trouble to come upon us and upon our world for one reason and one reason only: that we might repent and return to Him. This is the first reason why Habakkuk is such a good study for the season of Lent. It's a call to remember that God is in charge in the midst of the evil of this world, and that He is doing something so amazing that we wouldn't believe it if we were told. Because I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, as we confess in our explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. God has indeed done an amazing thing in sending Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. God has indeed done an amazing thing by calling us from death to life by His Word and His Holy Spirit to live as His holy and righteous people. So, dear friends in Christ, consider the current state of this world with all of its strangeness, with all of its brokenness, as a reminder to us all that the call to repent and return to the Lord continues. God is still doing amazing things. May His Holy Spirit open our eyes and our hearts to His Word, that we may continue to look to Christ in all things. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.